The time is almost up. Thanks for listening to Big Band Broadway and Beyond. God bless, and if anybody asks, tell them Joe sent you.
Must we let it end?
This is WHFR Dearborn. Hello and welcome to another edition of the new WHFR Journal. And this is alternative news and views for Dearborn and the surrounding area. I'm the host, Jay Koronek, and my co-host is Dennis Reimars. So, hey, Dennis, things are getting pretty exciting down to the wire before the election.
They are. Well, first of all, welcome back. I know you had an absolutely wonderful time on your vacation.
Thank you for filling in. I'm sure the seat was
it was comfortable.
Comfortable.
We'll leave it at
enough,
that. Things are coming down. Things are getting real exciting. And I know right out of the gate here, we're doing something that I've been excited about for a couple weeks. Do you want to talk about it?
Yeah, go.
Well, we have, we pre-recorded based on a kind of a little bit of a schedule conflict. She's a very busy woman, but the vice presidential nominee for the Green Party, it's Green Party US. Her name is Sherry Hunkala, and we had an opportunity to speak with her for about 25 minutes earlier today.
Yes, and we're going to do that right now. Actually, you know, technically, she is the candidate. She's not the nominee.
Oh, true.
I mean,
at this point, you're right.
Green Party, she was a nominee, and then they selected her. So she is their candidate for Vice President of the United States. And, of course, Dr. Jill Stein, is their candidate for President of the United States. The Green Party United States is on the ballot in Michigan. And that's our purpose here at WHFR.FM is to cover the stories that, for some crazy reason, the big commercial media, who should know better, are not covering. So they're not giving you all the choices, all the information that you should have to make a really fair and honest decision. So here we go. Here's the interview as Dennis said, we just pre-recorded with Sherry Hunkala, the vice presidential candidate for Green Party U.S. for vice president. On the WHFR Journal today, we're pre-recording an interview with Sherry Hunkala, who is the vice presidential candidate on the Green Party United States ticket. And we're very happy that you've agreed to be with us and allow us to broadcast this interview on our station. How is it on the campaign trail for you today? I believe you're in Minneapolis?
Yes, I'm very happy to be here in my hometown. I'm actually now in Northfield. Uh-huh. And getting ready to speak to some students about my experience and what's been happening around the country.
Well, you have, we'll talk about the Green Party in a moment, and on our station we're trying the best we can to talk to the so-called third-party candidates for both local office and national office, because the major commercial media just don't seem to notice, and that's another issue we can bring up. We actually got Ralph Nader for about 10, 15 minutes a couple weeks ago on the phone, and he mentioned, too, about, of course, how he was slighted as a Green Party candidate for president in 2000 and some reasons behind that. But let's talk about yourself and, I guess, really your qualifications for office of vice president in the United States. Now, of course, you and the presidential candidate for the Green Party USA on the ticket, Jill Stein, Dr. Jill Stein, are on the ballot here in Michigan. So you are a totally legit equal choice for people going to the polls on November 9th. You're primarily known, if I may just sum up here, and you can talk more about it, but you're primarily known as an activist working to resolve the major problem of poverty, which I assume is homelessness and hunger-related issues, too. But please explain that background and your recent activities.
Sure. For the last 25 years, I've been working with poor and homeless folks, unemployed, underemployed across the entire United States of America, fighting for them to get access to employment, to housing, to health care, all the various different basic necessities of life. Most recently, I've become known for my work in the foreclosure movement and teaching families how to engage in foreclosure defense. Mm-hmm. And it's been quite a struggle. 8 million families have lost their homes to foreclosure. And so I've been working with families that have lived in their homes for 20, 30 some years, worked their entire lives, and now are losing their homes to the banks, and they've watched the banks getting bailed out for the last several years now, and it's a real crime. And so I've been fighting with them both in terms of going to the courts, going to the halls of Congress, and then also, most importantly, fighting it through the use of nonviolent civil disobedience and, holding demonstrations in front of the various different banks and stuff. So these are the kinds of things that I've been doing. Dr. Jill Stein is a doctor and a graduate of Harvard, and I'm a graduate of the School of Hard Knocks. And I really see that as a good combination. Both of us are connected to various different sections of the population, and really want to see a different kind of country for ourselves and for our children and the American children to grow up in.
Yeah, and you're very humble. I see your resume. I just have a brief resume in front of me here that I got from the jillstein.org website, which is the primary place, folks. So we're talking to Sherry Hancala, the vice presidential candidate for the United States of America from the Green Party U.S. And there is, of course, a Green Party U.S. website, gpus.org. But really, I think Jill Stein, STEIN.org, has an awful lot more information and updated information about the campaign. But I was saying the humility. This career that you've had, this difficult School of Hard Knocks career in helping the homeless and the hungry and the poor in America has, two decades you've been working in this?
Yeah, almost 3 decades.
It's
been quite difficult because I usually come up against corporations and the banks, and it's hard work because the organizing work that I've been doing in this country is generally not funded. But, you know, I take my strength from looking back in history and remembering that, during the days of slavery, people didn't get together and write for a foundation grant. They just had to organize and face what was before them. And that's how we're, beginning to have to organize today. We don't have the resources, but we're definitely resourceful.
You have to be extremely clever in order to counter the power of money from those that have it. They've got lawyers, they've got people they've helped get elected who are, sort of on their side automatically, And I just know that happens in your bio, too. It says you faced over 10 years in prison for one of the demonstrations, one of the peaceful protests that you're talking about. Local law enforcement claimed you assaulted officers. However, luckily, somebody did some video footage and later found out you didn't assault anyone. But you have served time even recently, or at least overnight, right? You and Dr. Stein were trying to get into one of the debates to just be equal partners to that.
Yeah, I mean, my heart really goes out to victims of police brutality across the country. I have definitely been a victim of it. And have been lucky enough to have a high profile so that I've been able to call attention to the fact that, I've experienced police brutality as well as a violation of my civil liberties. And we definitely experienced it the other day when we tried to get into the Commission on Presidential Debates. And instead of the university deciding to send out somebody from the Commission on Presidential Debates to sit down and talk to Jill and explain to us why we've been kept out of the debates, we were met by, a dozen or so police officers who then, surrounded us, told us that we were blocking traffic, and had us arrested, and we were taken to a secret warehouse. Oh. By Secret Service, photographed and handcuffed with both of our hands together sideways on a metal chair for over 8 hours. And, it was very hard to believe that this is happening in the United States of America.
Yeah.
And this is actually a much larger issue than, Dr. Jill Stein and myself. This is really a question of democracy.
Right.
That when you can take two very, well-known candidates, who have, the mathematical ability to win the White House, and when we're on 38 ballots and we're over 85%
right.
of the population can vote for us,
mm-hmm.
and they can get away with treating us like this, it should send a strong message to people in this country that we've got to do something about our democracy.
Let's immediately shift in about 10 minutes that we have left. Why Green Party U.S. and Stein-Hankala ticket? Why should people vote for you folks? Now, they've had months and months and months of Republican sound bites, and of course, most people know President Obama and what he's been involved in. But go ahead, make the case.
These are, deciding who you want for president. People really need to look critically into the decision that they make. Both the Democrats and the Republicans are backed by corporations and the banks, and are really not free to live out whatever kind of program that they put forward, because they're owned. They're owned by the banks. They're owned by the corporations. And the Green Party receives no money from the banks or from corporations. And we have set forward a platform that's based on the Green New Deal, which is talking about dealing with the climate crisis in this country, coming up with green jobs, ending unemployment centers and turning them into employment centers, forgiving student debt, bringing the military home. These are just some of the things that the Green New Deal talks about, and I want to encourage your listeners to bring up jillstein.org and look more into the Green New Deal. But anybody that's out there that says that you're tired of homelessness, a vote for Jill and I means that you're prepared to stand with us in ending homelessness. A vote for Jill and I means that you're against, using our money and engaging in oil wars that are killing civilians and killing our soldiers. and a vote for Jill and I means that you're prepared to create the kind of U.S. That's not only possible but absolutely necessary.
Yeah, there's, of course, the Green Party U.S. has a general 10-point program that they've used for a long time, and many of the specifics there you've already mentioned. As Ralph Nader said, because there's not that much time, even in a 20-25 minute interview, of course, to let you go in detail on these things. But number one, I have to say to my listeners here, but also to anyone doing research in the Green Party, you're not just the so-called tree huggers. There is so many issues of local control and small government that can improve the situation, as well as jobs, universal health care, ending foreign wars that have no purpose and no point, reducing the military that's not necessary for our defense and protection. And as Ralph Nader said, if you go down the list of issues that the Green Party U.S. is campaigning on, the majority of people in the United States are in favor of each of these positions, if the story would only be told. And
absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a huge problem that we're dealing with. You know, we don't have the billions of dollars that just, you know, was aired today on television that, you know, officially both Obama and Romney now are the billion-dollar candidates and have received the most money ever before in history running for president. And I think it's a real shame, and we've got to do something to take money out of politics. We've got to open up the airwaves and tell the story and give a platform to candidates where it's mathematically possible for them to win the presidency.
Absolutely.
It's the American people that decides who they want in office,
sure.
Not the Commission on Presidential Debates.
Which is really just the Democrats and Republicans. Right, yeah.
Yeah.
My colleague Dennis has a question for you here.
Ms. Ankala, hi, this is Dennis Reimers. You know, you've been through a lot with this campaign, obviously, and should you win, where you're headed is again, obvious. In the event, though, that it goes in a different direction, is this something you could do again, going through all the different things and the planning? I mean, has this taken a lot out of you, or is this just par for your life's course?
Well, you know, people have asked me, you know, would I ever consider running again? And I would have to say yes. You know, the people that I've met across the entire country, the people that have been responsible for making me into the leader that I am, it's really their decision. What we have to do is we have to go forward on this journey. We really don't have a choice if we want a planet. We don't get, you know, planet B as an option. We have to do something about saving our planet right now. We have to do something about the horrendous conditions that the majority of the people are living in. Half the country is living in poverty right now, and it doesn't have to be like that. It's really a fight between, you know, corporate greed and human needs. And I'm prepared to go the long run. I'm a marathon runner. I hope that people that are listening out there today will also get involved in this race, because the next generation depends upon us.
We're talking with Sherry Hunkala here on WHFR.FM, who is the vice presidential candidate on the ballot November 6th from the Green Party of the United States. Sherry, I assume you get this question, other than what is the Green Party, from those that you know, it's hard to get the message out when it's so controlled by big money. But what about that other question that we're always getting? How do you respond to people that say, well, it's just a wasted vote, or you know, our political system would be in chaos if there were three parties?
We need to catch up with the rest of the world. The rest of the world has anywhere from 5 to 10 to Finland has 15 political parties.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's never too late to really begin to live in a country that has a democracy, and a democracy means many different opinions and ideas, and, you know, it's time for that to happen in the United States of America, and it's time for decisions to not be made just on the basis of money.
Yeah, a lot of
in terms of the whole spoiler mm-hmm. argument, you can't really spoil something that's already rotten. And, you know,
I haven't heard that before.
You know, mm-hmm. I think that the majority of the people understand that we're going down in this Titanic, and we have to stop arguing about, like, how we can get the best seat on the Titanic and figure out how to build that raft and get off of it. And the way to do that is to begin to build this independent political motion in this country and not be swayed by the spoiler argument.
Yeah,
our children deserve something new.
I think that's absolutely true. I mean, certainly gridlock has been the term applied to federal government and even here in Michigan to state government. So the Dems and Republicans by themselves aren't really getting us anywhere. That's my opinion here on the station, and I thank the college for letting me say things like that. But in fact, there's nothing in our United States Constitution, nothing about the founders of the country that said anything about political parties even, much less the fact that we can only have or should only have two of them. I mean, that was never an issue for them. They never saw a problem. And in Canada, which is right next door to Detroit here, we see their television and we see their debates, and they have at least three, if not four, major candidates, I know, for prime minister of their country every couple of years. And they give equal time to everyone that's legally on the ballot, whichever affiliation they are. And they're not in gridlock. You know, as you pointed out, other countries in Europe certainly are having economic difficulties. But, you know, I sometimes think that a third party, even if it was just the president, sure, they'd have trouble working with the Dems and Republicans. But in fact, there would be an awful lot of pressure, I think, from the general public to get something done. There would have to be compromise. There would have to be new majorities, if you will, to be created in order to even justify the existence of the Dems. So how do you feel about the third alternative being maybe a way to get out of gridlock?
You know, absolutely. There's enough room on the stage for 3, 4, 5 different political parties. All we know is that what we have right now is not working. And if we continue to do this, we're just going to really be in trouble. And, you know, again, you know, this always goes back to the corporations. We shouldn't have a process where the person with the most money wins our elections. The person mm-hmm. with the most money gets to be on the stage and participate in the debates. We really have a responsibility to turn this thing around. And I think that with the airing of the expanded debates on Democracy Now! Means that the cat's out of the bag and millions of people know about third parties for the first time in this country as a result of some of those expanded debates that have taken place. And I think that there's no going back now.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I think that we're going to see good things ahead. I definitely think it's going to be a challenge, but if people get organized and step up to the plate, we can turn this thing around.
I certainly hope that all of our listeners will do the research and go to jillstein.org or gpus.org, but especially jillstein.org, which is the key, campaign website for Dr. Jill Stein and Sherry Hunkala, who we're talking to now, for president, vice president, U.S. They can make their own decisions once they find out about it. And it is, I can't say conspiracy, but it's certainly a systematic flaw in America now that any party other than Dems and Republicans really are effectively, in fact, denied access to the media, whether it's just a lack of money, but it's really a lack of attention. I was surprised, you know, the New York Times, they always say paper of record and very liberal and so on. I haven't seen any mention in the Times about the Green Party and the Stein-Hunkala ticket in the last few weeks. I just saw an article, I think it was about 2 weeks ago, about the Libertarian candidate, Gary Johnson. It was on their front page even, that he was, not their headline, but he was there and talked about how the Republican Party across the country has had legal attacks on his candidacy and actually got him and kept him off the ballot in three or four states, including Michigan, by the way. And that was the only mention, and it's amazing it even got to page one. So shame on them. You know, shame on any newspaper or political party that doesn't involve all the candidates that are on the ballot. And, I mean, if you have to be somewhat discriminatory, and at least include the Green Party and the Libertarians for in terms of presidential candidacies, because both of your parties are technically qualified, as you said, to get enough votes to win even in the Electoral College and therefore be a successful candidate. I'm going to let you, I've talked a lot here, I'll give you a couple minutes, and that's all the time we have remaining to sort of sum up why people should primarily consider the Stein-Hunkala ticket and voting for the Green Party on November 6th.
You know, I just want to say thanks for having us on, you know, we're really counting on social media and campus radio programs and alternative media out there really getting the word out. This is, you know, as Rosa Clemente says, this is not the alternative party, this is the imperative party. Mm-hmm. And our generation and generations to follow are really depending on us. So we hope that people will get out there on Election Day, work those polls, tell their friends and their neighbors, and get involved in taking back America.
Well, thank you so much for your time today. Good luck with the campaign and getting the message out.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye. This is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This is the WHFR Journal, the new WHFR Journal for October 26, 2012. Jay Kornick and Dennis Reimar is here live in the studio for you. You just heard a phone conversation, interview with Cheryl Hunkala, Vice Presidential Candidate, Green Party U.S., that we recorded just about an hour or so ago before broadcast time because she's busy campaigning in Minnesota right now. Of course, their presidential candidate is Jill Stein. We hope you can get the full story. You won't get it from commercial media.
No.
You figure out why. I mean, as she said there, you know, they're on the ballot in 38 states out of 48. Technically, they could be elected president and vice president if enough people choose to vote for them.
She said mathematically.
Mathematically, that's right. And you say, well, they can't possibly win. Yes, they can. You have to vote for them. But, and of course, a vote can mean many things. Even if the candidate doesn't win, you know, it shows a certain amount of support or sympathy or I don't believe in anti-voting,
right.
Voting against certain people, you know, but nonetheless, technically, the Green Party of the U.S. and the Libertarian Party could have their president, vice presidential candidates elected to office, even though Gary Johnson, the presidential candidate, former governor Gary Johnson of New Mexico, is on more ballots than the Green Party, not in Michigan because of the Republican Party's battles legally to get him off the ballot in several states. All in my personal opinion, and remember, all opinions of the show are not necessarily those of anyone here at Henry Ford Community College, although I hope so, is, you know, they've had this campaign because they think, oh, my gosh, if Republicans actually find out about Gary Johnson, they'll vote for him instead of George Romney. So they don't want that. They don't want him on the ballot so that might be a choice. And so he's been taken off the ballot in Michigan because of a so-called sore losers rule that was put in place in the early 90s. But as it turned out, they didn't use it against John Anderson. Okay, he formerly was a Republican, then decided to go independent. Nobody kept him off the ballot because the Republicans then made a decision, well, he's going to take away as many Democrats, maybe more Democratic votes from the Democratic candidate than us. So we're not even going to bring it up.
He wasn't a perceived threat.
No, he wasn't a perceived threat. And so it just, hey, a threat means people actually want to vote for him, actually like him better than your candidate. And so let it happen. You know, that's, I think that's what a democracy is for. Let the people make their choice in the election. Hopefully you find out about, you know, who stands for what.
You know, it's really interesting. We spent 25 minutes with Ms. Sankala, and as you and I have talked about, we could have spent another 25 minutes covering the different things that, you know, as the basis for her campaign. Mm-hmm. But the background stuff we received, we printed out here, she has led, at least in her early life, it was a pretty rough life. And then read something that said that she had been arrested more than 200 times for civil disobedience.
Civil disobedience, which means peaceful protests to demand rights for the homeless, those people living in poverty, those people losing their mortgages, the hungry.
She lived it.
It's a huge. Imagine making that choice, as a career. And this is not a well-paying job. This is not a job that anybody's going to give you money for. But it's because she believes in it. As she said, she's not part of a government handout for local activism or anything. I mean, she's been known as one of the major advocates for better treatment for the homeless. And as you mentioned, she was part of our the Homelessness Marathon that was nationally broadcast and covered here last Sunday on the station for 8 hours. And we're very happy to be part of the Homelessness Marathon network. And both she and Jill Stein, you told me, were both
I heard
on it.
Ms. Sankala. I did not hear Jill Stein.
Well, of course, she's the homelessness advocate and one of the major voices in the U.S., so it's obvious that she at least should be on that panel.
Yeah.
That shouldn't happen in America. You know, folks, we should have equal access to health care, to education. I mean, no barriers.
And as
no barriers. That's my personal opinion. And then everybody will have the opportunity to either succeed or fail. But they can't, you know, be held back because they're not healthy if medical science can treat them, if they can get health care both before and after a problem results at no extra cost, get their medicines as prescribed for no cost. These are not handouts. These are methods along with education. And I thought it was interesting that Green Party, Jill Stein, has issued a statement that they're in favor of, first of all, forgiving all student debt loans, okay?
I heard that, yeah.
And then making higher ed, public higher ed, of course, you can't do anything about private higher ed, making all public higher ed free, no tuition cost.
No.
Maybe they'll force you to pay you for books, but which are substantial, substantially expensive these days. And that's the way it should be. And you say, well, that's never been that way.
Yes,
oh, yeah,
is.
In California up through, well, until Governor Reagan became governor. Yeah, free tuition at all public universities in California. Those were the days when California had some money, by the way. And isn't that right? If you qualify technically, I mean, if you're smart enough, if you pass the classes and you meet the entry-level requirements, you shouldn't have to worry about paying for your higher education for any training program at a public university or community college that you want. Why should you? Think about it. Why should you? If you've got the smarts and you've got the determination, you should go as far as you possibly can. Cost should not be an object. That's my personal opinion. And think about it. We say we need more educated people. We need more doctors. We need more people in this profession and that, and certainly in green jobs too, in green employment fields. We don't have the people trained right now. What, we have to hire people from India or outsource or something to get qualified people? That's because we're artificially keeping people who have the determination and the skills needed if they get the training to do these jobs. But the cost of college now, well, no poor person can go to college, period. You say, well, there's scholarships. There's not enough to go around, not for everybody, and that's just wrong. We've got to reshape that whole system, and believe it or not, it will save money I've read some interesting articles in this, Dennis. Yes Magazine is one of my favorite magazines. They're very positive, obviously, the name Yes. But they're positive in terms of social change can be beneficial to everybody, and new social ideas can actually cost less. You know, I'm thinking Henry Ford Community College. We get help from the federal government on some scholarships and some work-study money for people working on campus. But we have to put five people into jobs here and set up whole computer systems to manage that and report. And if it was just free, it wouldn't need that extra overhead cost. Okay, so in a way, that'll pay for a whole bunch of scholarships right there if you don't have that overhead. Same thing with universal single-payer health care. It's actually going to reduce costs in the long run. And you say, well, government control. Yeah, but it works. Other major civilized country, it works. And I, as a teacher for 45 years, you know, if you don't have the education and if you don't have your health, you're not going to have a chance for liberty and equal opportunity to do the best you can and find, you know, and accomplish your dreams or whatever. You've got to do it, but you need your health and you need your education to the extent that you can succeed with it.
Speaking of education, and obviously we had that 25-minute interview with Ms. Ankala for the purpose of exposure and giving people an education, but something that we just discovered is there will, in fact, after all of the fighting and getting arrested because they weren't invited to the national debates, they are going to have, they being the libertarians. Do you have that information right here?
I do. I pull up the website. If you want to see Jill Stein and Governor Gary Johnson, and they probably won't be in any formal debates. If you want to see them, first of all, debate on MSNBC and Lawrence O'Donnell of the Last Word program. He's on every night, Monday through Friday. I forget which time. Is it right after Rachel Maddow's show? In any event, I think it's 10 to 11. He might do it. They might do it, but you'd have to tweet him or Facebook him or something like that about it to put them live on MSNBC. Again, the two major parties other than the Democrats and Republicans in the United States that all technically, actually, if people voted for them, if they knew about them and voted for one or the other, they could be president and vice president of the United States in terms of their other candidate, of course. But nonetheless, they're going to do it one way or the other, and it's going to be live at least next Tuesday. That's the 30th, 10:30, 12, okay, from 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern time, our time here. They're going to be in Washington, D.C., and you can go to this website, which is freeandequal.org/live. That's freeandequal.org/live. And you can even watch it through the internet that way, at least if they don't put it on MSNBC. And they say you can do online conversations, so I guess you can send them email or something at the same time or chatting somewhere. And also RT America's YouTube channel. So I don't know what that is. RT, capital R, capital T, America's YouTube channel. So you'd have to Google that to find out what that is. Just get the message out, okay? Don't let the rich people control the commercial media, and you think those are there are only two choices, and it's absolutely wrong.
It's amazing because
I'm not. Again, I want to state, and Dennis knows too. It's not our opinion that you should support a third party candidate. You can vote your mind, but if you don't know, and you don't have equal amount of information about all the candidates that could be elected president of the United States and vice president, then you're not making the best choice, are you? Because you don't know the other choice. If you don't know the other choices, how do you know you wouldn't vote for them? So find out as much as you can. Yes, I directly blame all the commercial media, Fox News, MSNBC, all the local channels, even the local newspapers, and the New York Times for not even mentioning that there are other equal choices that you could vote for that technically would win. Now, in Michigan, we have some other presidential candidates on the ballot.
Sure.
The Constitution Party, or I think they renamed themselves the Justice Party. In Michigan, they're called the U.S. Taxpayers Party on the ballot. And also the Natural Law Party. Every 4 years, I see them. But they technically are not on enough ballots. They're on the Michigan ballot. Neither of them could technically, even if everybody voted for them and they won in every state that they're on, they couldn't technically win in the Electoral College and be president, vice president. But there they are.
The Natural Law Party.
Don't have time to explain it, Dennis.
I'm going to read up on this for sure.
Some people don't like lawyers, so I guess you wouldn't like them. But natural law, that's better than this artificial laws, right?
Yeah, I would think so.
Is that organic law party, too?
Just by the name.
I don't want to make fun of them, folks. You need to read about it, too. But they technically don't have a chance, even if everybody voted for them and they won in every state they're on the ballot, they can't be president, vice president. We actually interviewed someone from the U.S. Taxpayers Party or the Constitution Party nationally 4 years ago on this channel. They're basically extremely conservative. More conservative than Tea Party people. Much more conservative right wing than libertarian, certainly too. But make your own choices. You can vote for them if you want to. There's all kinds of different approaches. People have different theories about how to vote and for whom. I did read in Dennis in the current issue of Reason magazine, which is kind of libertarian small L philosophy. Okay. And by the way, our founding fathers were libertarian small L.
Right.
If you know what it means, folks, look it up. But I want to vote like Thomas Jefferson would vote. Well, then find out more about the Libertarian Party, capital L, because they're pretty close to the same philosophy. It isn't a continuity from 1776, but I'm just saying Libertarian Party started in 1980, but in the U.S. But it is very similar in beliefs as our founding fathers. Nonetheless, that doesn't mean anything. What do they believe now, and will those issues solve will those positions on the issues solve the problems today? Nonetheless, I just mentioned the debate. If you're interested in a Johnson-Stein, that is Libertarian Green Party debate for president, October 30th, it will happen from 9 to 10:30 p.m., but you may, if it's not on MSNBC, you may have to go to fairandequal.org/live to watch it on the internet. If you go to jillstein.org, you can see the information there about that under campaign news. Click on campaign news, and you could find the way to send an email, a tweet, a Facebook message, whatever, to MSNBC, and maybe they can actually get some national TV time that way.
That's what I was thinking. That you said that RT something or other.
RT America's YouTube channel.
RT be retweet? Because I know that in Twitter that's a lot.
This is capital R, no period, then capital T, no period, and then capital A, America.
Okay.
So I guess you'd have to Google capital R, capital T, space, America, capital A, and see what you get there. And then they have a YouTube channel somehow. Maybe go to YouTube and just click on or type in R, capital T, America, and see what you get that way for that. But, it's worthwhile. Check it out. Find out as much as you can about these candidates. We're going to go with other news for Dearborn and the surrounding area now from the local papers here on the Journal. I have started to commend, before I left, Dearborn Press and Guide that have now very extensive, much more extensive, a number of stories and opinions about the campaign and all the propositions than ever before. Of course, have they interviewed or done stories about Libertarian or Green candidates? No. Zero. Zilch.
Nope.
Nothing. Oh, they do list them as candidates. There was a sort of a ballot on the issue of 2 days ago, a list of the candidates who will be on the ballot in the state for various districts and so on, although they got one of the districts wrong. They called it the 9th district. It's not the 9th now. It's going to be the 10th. It's out. It's actually part of Dearborn now.
Okay.
9th wasn't, but the 10th is. And in fact, they did put, although they didn't clarify this, and in fact, that list did not agree with their headline story from last Sunday, which is Detroit lawmaker wants to represent Dearborn as well. He's already in the 9th district, Democrat Representative Harvey Santana. Okay. But his district, because of gerrymandering, is changing to the 10th. And when it becomes the 10th, he's representing three voting precincts of Dearborn.
Okay.
but rest of Dearborn, is it 40 or 50 more precincts? And we've never mentioned his name before. So it's Democrat Harvey Santana, who's already in the legislature, but he was representing the 9th, and it's now going to be the 10th. Some people in Dearborn, Northeast Dearborn, those three little precincts, you won't see George Duraney versus
Priscilla
Parnes. You won't see that because it's Harvey Santana. And you may say, who the hell is Harvey Santana? Well, it's because they gerrymandered. Now he's got a little three precincts of Dearborn, and he's going to try to represent them too. And his competition is Renee Simpson, a Republican.
Okay.
Now, there's no Green Party or Libertarian Party candidates either for the 15th, Duraney's district, for the Michigan House, or for the 10th. But, of course, on the list in the press and guide for who is running in the 9th, they mention the 9th, but it's not the 9th anymore. It's the 10th, so they got that wrong. But also, as I said, they list Libertarians and Green Party and other U.S. Taxpayers Party candidates for, like, some of the college education boards in Michigan. But they don't give any story about the Greens or the Libertarians at all whatsoever. They do have an editorial comment in Wednesday's paper from the Press and Guide. And did it come from Tim Powers? Doesn't have his name on it, the editor of the Press and Guide in Dearborn. Or did it come from corporate, that is, from the owners of the Herald newspapers?
The Register Journal.
Whoever they are. Yes. Or is that the new people?
It's not new. It's the old. They've just filed bankruptcy.
Right. But I don't know if the new owners or not. But I thought it was interesting that their proposals that they recommend, and they're on page 6A from last Sunday, the 21st, the Press and Guide official editorials on the positions that they think should be voted for on those six proposals. And again, we did that proposal show a couple weeks ago, mm-hmm. So you probably know where we stand or our ideas about those individual proposals. It's interesting to me they agree exactly with Governor Snyder. Vote yes on one and no on all the others. Now, that does include no on that two-thirds majority to raise or lower taxes, which is crazy. It'll be absolutely cripple. I don't know anybody liberal or conservative that doesn't know that should be a no. And the UX taxpayer, the taxpayers associations in Michigan said, we don't want any more taxes, so let's make it impossible to raise them. Yeah, but they can't lower them either without two-thirds. Get that. So you don't want that either. I'm sure you don't. You don't want to make it that hard to lower taxes. Of course you don't, because you'll never get that either. Well, at least you'll keep it the same. Well, I thought you were for lowering taxes. Well, you don't want to vote for Proposal 5, that two-thirds majority. Anybody in their right mind doesn't want it. Talk about gridlock. It'll totally stop any sort of change that has anything to do with finances in Michigan. And so Snyder agrees, but so does the Press and Guide. And then, of course, the Bridge Amendment. Give me a break here, of course. The Press and Guide say vote no on that. Snyder says vote no. The only one that says vote yes is the owner of the current Ambassador Bridge, Marty Maroon, and his artificial little organization, Super PAC or whatever it is, Americans for Prosperity. And he said, well, who is that? It's Marty Maroon, the billionaire who doesn't want to lose even a dollar to the second bridge when it's built. And it will be built. It's a done deal. His current ads, and he has new ads every week because he's a billionaire. Mm-hmm. So he has much more. Talk about corporations are people too and super PACs are people too. Because they're so rich, they get unequal access to the media. They can do new ads 14 times an hour. Exaggerating here, of course, every single day. Okay. And he's investing now close to $20 million, not just to get this on the ballot. You say, oh, it's a grassroots effort. No, it isn't. It's him, his money. No grassroots effort. Okay. And certainly he has a right. Okay. But I'm saying that people are seeing this. Oh, this must be the opinion. And the current angle he's using, because everything else he says is lies, is all these anonymous people saying, yeah, the people should decide. Yeah, the people should decide. Yeah. Well, how can the people intelligently decide anything if only the rich people out of self-interest are spending millions of dollars to make you believe there's only one side to the argument. You can't get the full picture from a millionaire on TV who's just in favor of his own points of view. Exactly. Yes, and Dennis is showing me some of the flyers that come to my house in Dearborn. I've got 4, 5, 6 for, you know, vote yes on 6. That is all from Americans for Prosperity. It's all the billionaire who's trying to sway opinions there and muddy the waters. Number one, the bridge cannot be stopped by voting yes. That second bridge. But it'll stop any other bridge and maybe the rail tunnel that they're trying to build now, which shouldn't need voter approval to do, to increase business and trade and jobs in Michigan and Canada. Okay, Canada is paying the full cost of the bridge. I'm wearing my finger out, pounding on the table here. That's the fact, Jack and Jill, okay? The state of Michigan is paying zilch, zero. And you say, well, that's impossible. That can't be true. It is true. Okay, Canada is paying for all the construction cost. They will handle the construction. Okay, what do they get out of it? All the additional trade and jobs, and we'll get trade and jobs too. They're our number one trading partner. We are their number one trading partner. Isn't it amazing that Michigan is the number one trading partner of Canada? Not New York State, not Maine, not any other contiguous states, but it's Michigan. We all benefit. We benefit equally. Governor Snyder says that. The only Republicans in the legislature who say different are getting tens of thousands of dollars each year individually from Marty Maroon for their campaign funds. So can we trust them to be unbiased, to be objective? I don't think so.
Oh, I know, you're riled.
So you know, I agree, and we've stated opinions about mm-hmm. those two areas. I think you should look at, and let's stay with this politics stuff. I'm hot now. Take a look at Craig Ferrand, because this is the one thing I'll say for the Press and Guide, even though that editorial opinion sounded like it came down from Governor Snyder or the Republican owners,
right?
Because it's total lockstep opinions with Governor Snyder, most Republicans, not those that support Maroon, of course, who, by the way, put the fifth proposal on the ballot himself, too,
yeah.
All by himself. There's no grassroots effort there to stop taxes with two-third majority. That two-third majority proposal was all Matty Maroon. Why? Because he didn't want to have to be taxed more as a rich person. He's afraid that even with Republicans in control in Michigan, somebody might think of charging the rich people a little more money. And so that would keep him from having to pay any more in taxes. So, of course, he's going to put $20 million or more in trying to gum up government and protect himself. So, all right. So take a look at, and I grabbed the wrong paper.
What are you looking for?
The Craig Ferrand. I wanted to say that Morris Goodman and Craig Ferrand and others have been encouraged by the Press and Guide to put their editorial opinions in on who they support. And I'm surprised. Al Foster hasn't put in his opinions yet. He's the Republican spokesperson, sort of, for the Press Guide, just like Morris Goodman is sort of the Democratic Party spokesperson. Yeah. And you can always predict that. I mean, Morris just came out in favor of George Durrani, wasn't it? Well, in favor of Wiganik in the last week. Who's nonpartisan, but so you know where these people stand typically. But Craig Ferrand, okay, he's kind of a liberal, but he has a couple of opinions here, and I'd like to share them with you. Thought-provoking on page 6A from 2 days ago, October 14th. First of all, he says, like prescription drugs, political ads should be required to have disclaimers. You know, political ads, like the Maroon ads, you can lie all you want to. Bold-faced lies. Total, absolutely false. And there's no consequences. It's freedom of speech. You've heard about that, right? But people watch it and they think, oh, it must be true. It's on TV. Oh, I'm so sorry for those people that don't know the fact of political commercials or the fact that in freedom of speech, you can lie all you want to. In very few situations in the U.S. where there's any consequences coming from lying so boldly. One is, of course, in a court of law under oath.
Sure, perjury.
If you're going to say you have to promise, you have to swear, either on a Bible or not, but you have to swear you're not going to lie, and then if you do, you're guilty of a crime. And also in certain commercials talking about foods or drugs, the FDA has regulations where you cannot lie about that. But wouldn't it be interesting, following with his title here about those disclaimers for political ads, that you either see a crawl at the end or you hear a voice saying, the ideas expressed in this commercial may be bold-faced lies. Only you can decide by reading facts elsewhere or going to MichiganTruthSquad.org.
Yeah.
You know, they should, shouldn't they? I mean, prescription drugs, they put down how you could die. It's always fun that there's a drug that's supposed to cure something, but the side effects could be, and we're talking about significant percentages, the side effects could be heart attack, death,
strokes. I mean, just enormous things.
Or for some of them, it seems contradictory. Even let's say you're trying to overcome ED, and what is it? Well, you actually have more erectile dysfunction from taking the drug. That could be a side effect.
Yeah.
Or with diabetes, well, you could die of blood glucose problems. I mean, but at least they're there. Right. People don't listen to them. People don't notice them at the bottom of the screen. But at least those disclaimers have to be there. So, Craig, good point.
Yeah.
Why not in a political ad? People need to know. Everything you've just heard may be false.
And to be fair, I mean, if somebody blatantly lies about something, let's say you own a business that sells a product and your competitor does a commercial, mm-hmm. that, I mean, you can take them to civil court for sure.
Right.
But that costs money, that takes time, and you still might lose.
Right.
So
yeah.
There's that
shadow ground of course, you can do generalizations, you know, like I'm the true American. Well, that's not either, you know, that's not provable one way or the other. You may be a citizen in America, of the United States of America, and you know, so there's all those generalizations that can't be proved either true or false. It's not a question of true or false, and of course nobody should ever believe a generalization.
No.
Seriously, I mean, there's so what he says this, she says that, doesn't matter. It's not a basis for, because you can't prove it. It doesn't mean anything. But then there's half-truths. There's something you might say that's true, but if you think of other truths and other facts that relate to the same issue, that would really sort of negate it. Yes,
sure.
It would contradict it. It would undercut it so that it's really the wrong perspective if that's all you believe. So there's half-truths, as I'd call them, or slanted opinions. Those can't be proven as lies. But there needs to be, yes, a disclaimer. For the average person who's watching these political commercials, what you have heard may be only half-truths. Certainly, they're generalizations. There are some half-truths, and there may be some lies here. You need to get the facts yourself elsewhere to figure this out.
And isn't
that a shame that should be the case? But what am I saying? Am I saying that every commercial has to be fact-checked? No, because then they would just be full of all blatant generalizations, and they wouldn't be worthwhile at all. I, as well as other media teachers in the U.S., want to ban all 30-second, 60-second commercials. There should only be an equal opportunity series of public debates on television and radio. All the candidates for the office that could win, there needs to be public debates. This is what they do in Canada, at no cost to the candidates. And no sound bites, no 30 seconds, no 60 seconds, no montages, no careful editing. Let them stand there and talk. And even the Obama-Romney debates, I can't go into details here, those weren't true debates. Those weren't full the statements about anything, because they only had like 30 seconds, 1 minute, or 2 minutes.
Right.
You can't get the full story in even 2 minutes. Tell us why you should vote for, Obama for president, reelect Obama for president. You have 2 minutes, Mr. President.
Right.
If you believe what you hear in 2 minutes, whether it's Obama or Romney, you're not a thinking person.
No.
You can't make a judgment there. Now, some people say, but I can at least see them. You're watching them on television. It's not like in person. Can you really see them sweat?
Right.
Can you really see all the body movements? Talk about body language. You can't see that on TV. Well, one's more handsome than the other. Yeah, because of makeup and lighting. Bad lighting, bad makeup can make them, like Richard Nixon in 1960. He lost the debate to John F. Kennedy, supposedly not on the radio, but on TV. Why? He hadn't shaved recently. He wasn't as tan as John F. Kennedy. a lot of people were watching on black and white TVs in 1960, and and that especially made his makeup job look really bad.
Yeah.
And but that's not a reason to vote for a person for president of the U.S. Are they handsome or not? Are they tanned or not? That's not a good reason by itself anyway. So so think of that suggestion from media teachers. I didn't write an article for the Press and Guide. There shouldn't be any political ads.
No, the 30 and 60 second ones, getting rid of those, because a lot of those are when they when even Obama talks about Romney, he's taking things out of context. And that's right. What would you consider that a half truth?
Mm-hmm.
It's precisely what it is.
Yeah.
I know that we have we had so many stories to do, but we do have a guest next week, we've confirmed.
Yes.
Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure. Looking forward, we only have about 3 minutes before our podcast cuts off. And remember, you can always listen to the show from WHFR.FM right after broadcast. Tell your friends. From WHFR.FM, click on Talk Shows, then click on WHFR Journal, and select the date. Obviously, the most recent date is the most recent show, and you can listen there. But we're going to keep going until Highway 61's Joanne Kraczynska arrives, we hope that she can get here on time today. There are some traffic problems in West Dearborn that I encountered getting here this morning, so I don't know if those are cleared up or not, but in any event... And it's rainy out there. My car luckily has four-wheel drive, but I could feel it kicking in on the leaves.
Oh, yeah.
And the rain. It's slippery out there.
They haven't picked up.
You don't have the same. Well, it's really, they're dropping fast now.
They
you
are.
Know? Well, let's finish with Craig Foran, because he actually goes through, besides that comment, he goes through some proposals. He says, what's the proposal about? That's the one about emergency manager law. He thinks you should vote the current law down, so you vote no on Proposal 1. That is the much more onerous second emergency manager law that Snyder and Republicans put in place in 2011 that respects no elected local politicians and can completely negate any sort of contracts, union or otherwise, that have been drawn up. I guess you have to have a union to have a contract with workers, but
sure,
that's another reason to have unions. And also to be able to move in and take over any city whenever the governor says that they're in trouble. No criteria. The governor says, I think you're in trouble. Zap, I control you.
Right.
Now, how can any Republican that's for limited local government be in favor of that? But they voted it in place.
Right.
Well, because... some governor in the future can say, I think you're all in trouble. I'm taking over every city in Michigan.
Right.
Well, according to the law, you could do that. Nobody could stop them. Nobody could stop them. That's the current second emergency manager law. So should that be voted down? Yes, it should.
Now, we talked about this earlier. Allen Park, it is a done deal. They will get an emergency financial manager, but it will be under the earlier.
Right.
The first emergency manager law
that even 72. Jennifer Granholm used effectively. They didn't have to wait to a bankruptcy. Somebody says, well, if you don't have it, you have to wait till they're bankrupt and that'll take years. No, we have one emergency manager law already here that actually respected local authorities and actually said there has to be certain criteria for moving in. Obviously, Allen Park's got a criteria.
Mm-hmm.
What was it? $10, $20, $30 million in debt?
Six.
Only $6 million in debt
this year,
now
right.
Because of